and he's looking down, and I think in hindsight, because I noticed this later on in the day, that my in-reach would flip around and I could see like a reflection on the grass in front of me. And I think that's what happened. He came and he saw that reflective light coming off my GPS. And he was like, and he just turned around and they left. Right before the wind hit the back of my head, I said to myself, I should hit him with bullhorn cow's bugle, because his cows, we could see his cows. We saw his cow, a couple of his cows pass in front of us, like 30 yards in front of us. And we're like, I'm like, we should do this. This guy's going to come over here. He's being pestered by these satellite bulls. He's going to come over here and give us a look, right? And then all of a sudden, the wind hits the back of my head, and I'm like, oh, I really should do this right now, because they're going to bust. And then you, cows are leaving. Oh shit. And then boom, the whole freaking herd explodes and they go running across that talus. And I was like, oh, mother of pearl.
They would like shot. Run down and then they'd run back up because I'd keep calling. And they're like, ah, man, there is a cow up there. And they'd run back up. And I could just see them. They're like peeking in between trees.
Where's the nana?
It's so funny. I could see their antlers and their heads just kind of like weaving in and out of trees, and they're looking back and forth like, what's going on? Like, why is she going crazy? You know, but there's no bull going off. It was kind of, that was probably kind of weird to them.
I'm sitting on the couch and I'm looking out the window. I'm talking to my wife. I'm FaceTiming my wife. And I'm like, hey, I got to call you right back. I hang up with her. Because I see this tan body coming down the ridge that we walked up two or three times, right? And I'm like, I thought it was an elk at first. You know, I wasn't even thinking. I run out there with my binos, and I put my binos up, and it's a freaking mountain lion.
Welcome to Days in the Wild Big Game Hunting Podcast, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. A couple things before we jump into this episode. Please, you heard me say a million times, go give us a review on iTunes. Helps me keep this podcast free and helps with the ratings. Also, go check out Phoenix Shooting Bags. If you use our promo code John Stallone, all one word, you save 20% off on anything. And it's not just shooting bags. They do glassing pads. They're working on some other really cool stuff coming up here for the hunter, bow hunters also. So go check them out, phoenixshootingbags.com. And if you're looking for a really good hunt, I have some really good opportunities for you. Hit us up on daysinthewild.com. Or check out my blog, johnstallone.me, and send us an email. If you're looking to do a coos deer hunt, javelina, mule deer in South Dakota. We got some opportunities in California as well. So give me a call if you're looking to do something different this year and like to get on a special hunt. Days in the Wild Outfitters, and we'll take care of you. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode.
So last night, this is the last night we have here in the Gaza Strip. We got Dan the Man, Graf.
Yes, sir.
We got Charles the Shadow Trekker, Witwam. And we're in elk camp last night. I don't know how you want to start this. You want to start with this with the first day and then go from there? What do we had? The first day, we were got snow, hail, rain, shit ton of wind.
Was that the first day?
That was the first day.
That was John's, yeah.
But that was my first day. You got here a day, you got here a couple days
early. I got here 2 days early, but I never really got to hunt because everything was wrong
with our arrangements.
Yeah.
Yes.
But anyways. Yeah. That okay, sucked. So that was the first day. Wait, did we hunt Saturday? No, Sunday was
Sunday.
The first day.
Okay, Sunday. Yeah, was the Saturday first day. We got here just in time for me. We went out in glass. We found a couple bulls that night.
That's right. I got here on Thursday.
So Sunday morning we get out. It's freezing freaking cold. It snowed all night long. And we got into what? We got into bulls, that first canyon we went into.
Yeah.
Or a bull anyway, not bulls.
You could hear them bugling.
And he probably came into what? Like 100 yards, probably?
Yeah, he was just went around there. He didn't want to do anything.
He wouldn't commit.
No.
I was back there spinning plates and jump roping. And
it sounded very good. It really did.
Yeah.
That was the first time I actually ever got a compliment from Charles.
Yeah.
He's like, John, I didn't really know you were that good of a caller. No, can I get that on? Can I get this on film? Can I get that recorded, please?
The first time, I've complimented you on your glassing. I always tell everybody how good of a glasser you are. Compliment you on your cooking. I don't know. Should we keep? Should we go? Should we keep going?
No, that's okay. Yeah. I don't need a big head. But So first, we didn't think he had a freaking. We didn't think he had cows the way he was acting, right?
Yeah.
He was never defensive.
It was like when you. Though. Yeah.
But he did. He did have cows. Yeah. Because we're pretty sure that's the same bull that we ran into later on that afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we made a play for him. He didn't want to commit. He ended up leaving. Then Charles hiked us all over Christ and back.
Saw we those 14 freezing, cows. We saw those 14
freezing
cows.
Freezing our asses off.
Yeah.
And yeah, we saw the 14 cows, no bull with them, which was crazy to me. And then we're heading up this draw. We get to where that spring is, and here comes an elk. Just do. And he beds down. Like, what the hell is this guy doing? We thought for sure he's seen us, but he hadn't. We sit down, send Charles over there. Charles sneaks into what, like 60 some yards he got?
I was, I can't remember.
Well, you were close enough that you drew back on him and then he busted.
It was around 60. Can't remember what it was. It was around 60.
Dude, I was shaking like a leaf. Like I was, and we're sitting there trying to glass and keep on and white out freaking conditions come in.
We're like, what's the bull doing? We don't know.
I can't even see it. Can't see the bull anymore.
I remember looking back at you guys and I'm like, I can't even see you guys anymore.
It was nuts.
So I had like a, you know, I could have did the old neck shot on him, which I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do normally at 60 yards, but I drew back on him and I was just shaking so much. And I was like, man, this sucks. That's happened to me a lot here.
It's cold.
But that was like the only cold day here.
Well, it was cold for the next 2 days after that. It just wasn't. It just wasn't brutal because it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't brutal. It was never brutal.
Yeah. That first day was pretty rough because it was windy and it was snowing and it was hailing and
there was cold
sleeting. Yeah, we ended up having to make a fire.
Yeah, I look over and John's digging in the dirt.
My freaking,
I'm wondering.
Pretty amazing fire.
I still smell the smoke.
That's embedded in. I think it's a good smell. Backpack.
That's a good smell.
Oh my god, it was in my nostrils for like 3 days after that. Everywhere I sat, the damn smoke was following me.
And then every time we thought we'd be ready to go, the snow would come in again and white out.
On the way back out, we end up spotting what we think is the same bull that we had contact with in the morning. And then I put a stalk on him with you.
Yeah.
In tow. And
but they worked
that
blew themselves
up. I don't know how the hell that went. I know it wasn't the wind. I don't know what happened.
It was we were trying to walk down the shale because they'd worked their way so far down that hill, and then we were in the shale hillside.
That's right. We had to expose ourselves. That's right. And they blew out.
And they could hear us from half a mile away.
Yeah. And then we had to make the death hike back home. I think the first day we did 12 miles, and that was the least amount of climbing, even though I thought we climbed a lot that day. I think it was like 3,000 feet. But
yeah.
Day two. I get a bull to pipe off right from camp in the morning up on the ridge. We are literally, this is like the story of the whole trip. We were like a minute late, a dollar short, like everything was just like, was just so close. We get up there and that the bull that we originally were after just starting to push his cows walk away, just walking up the mountain, and we're falling behind. If we were up there 20 minutes earlier that we wanted to be.
Dan slept in again, probably.
Again.
No, it's just you guys and your like three shits.
One alarm. I forgot one alarm.
I got to put
AM, PM.
But no. we didn't get up there as fast as we wanted to. But if we would have, I think we would have caught him right there in that little meadow. The little saddle meadow.
Yeah. But the way it worked out, we ended up seeing him down in that wall.
Oh, of course it worked out because I ended up, what we're going to talk about next, I ended up killing a bull. We started following them and we followed them and they dipped off to one side and then this other bull was bugling down at the spring and we're like, okay, let's go. Well, we started going, And the only reason why I ended up getting the bull really is because I took the little bit lower road. You guys took the higher road. So I came out in front of you guys. The I say road, but it's a trail.
Got a paved road.
Yeah, the paved road. God, how nice would that be?
Elk,
there's paved road.
Elk trail.
Oh my God.
My feet on the side of a mountain.
My feet would be so happy right now if we were walking on a road.
Yeah, no, they were going off. They were going off when we were in that, almost in that saddle. And then I think I looked over and I was like, there's one right there. I saw the back, right?
Yeah.
And then.
Well, he was bugling. He's like, yeah. We thought, and we thought it was
a bunch of elk. Bunch of bulls bugling also.
Yeah, all up that canyon.
Yeah.
But that one seemed close, and we thought it was the one we were originally after, but we figured out that they went off into the next creek over. Anyway, so we're making our way down there, make one cow call, one little chirp, and because we're going down this trail, we're making noise now, and here comes this bull right down the trail, right towards us, thinking.
It was fun to.
I dropped down. At first, I was like trying to get Charles to come up, and I was like, "Oh, this ain't happening. I'm just gonna take a shot right now." And here he's coming. Here he's coming. I draw back. Yeah. I only had one like little. I ranged. There's a tree up to the right that I ranged at 35 yards, and I was kind of using that as my litmus paper. And here he comes. Here he comes. And then he comes around the bend, and you know, as soon as I saw the horns coming, as it tips of his antlers, I draw back, and. He comes around, and I put him at like, in my head, I was thinking like 25, 30. So I kind of aimed a little bit low with a 30, and turns out it was at, when I ranged him up, when I went over to where I shot him and ranged back to you guys, it was 29 yards. But
it was fun. We both Charles and I had a chance to hit record.
Yeah,
we both filmed it, and it came out really good too.
Yeah.
It's like, epic. That's the kind of elk footage you want where they walk.
Right.
They're walking in. They're
just lumbering in and they're wide open. Yeah.
We couldn't see him when he bugled, but then you see his antler right after he bugled. And then he comes up. And we were just right straight. The trail was straight. So we were right behind John and looking right over.
Yeah, he just came around that bend looking for that cow. Just screaming. And then I shot him quartering two.
Couldn't have been more perfect.
He went 150 yards. He took a little while to expire, but he went 150 yards and laid down.
Yep.
It really wasn't that bad of a pack out as far as elk is concerned. I mean, it was mostly down. It was 2.2 miles. Mostly downhill.
From 9,200 feet, something like that.
For this place, that was about as perfect of a pack out as.
Oh, yeah. I could say, dude, tonight, I was like, fucking Charles is going to kill this elk. I'm going to kill him after.
I think I might have killed myself.
I think I might have to hit the SOS button on InReach.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I even texted my wife. I'm like, babe, we're 8 miles back, and we're on elk. It might be a late night.
Oh, that would have sucked.
But anyway. So then the next morning, we got the elk back. We didn't go out that night. Oh, you went out by yourself for a little bit that evening.
Yeah. And found some more elk. I mean, there was never a time we didn't find elk.
Oh, yeah. We were on them every day.
Yeah. Sometimes it just took a long. Sometimes it just took 13 miles.
Yeah. That was the third day, right? 13 miles.
Today.
And then.
No, the next day was.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That's when we got into
the
close encounters for sure.
No, bro. That was the same day that I BCC'd that bull. And he came over the top, and you guys couldn't see him. Remember? That was the third day.
Oh, I mean. Yeah, the third day. Yeah.
Yeah,
right from the get-go, we go back to where John shot, close to where John shot his bull, and we're trying to sneak around the corner and look. And I look up to my right up on top of the mountain. And
Dan's like, there's a bull pushing cows over the top. So we were pinned for like 45 minutes, freezing our dicks off because, you know, when you're walking in, you have – all your clothes off and you were sweating like a freaking hooker in church. And then anyway, they didn't like what was down there. And then
the bull came below him too and kind of turned him,
scooped him up and brought him back over the top of the saddle. And then we made a freaking a move after Charles made a movement.
In the spot.
in the secret poop time. Spot.
Left his mountain.
He's like, all right, wait, I got to go to the bathroom. So anyway, then we dropped down behind there. We made a play for where we thought they were going, and we made the right decision. We came out, and he was like, what, 65, 75 yards from us at that point?
Not far.
We didn't have a play right then and there, but he went over this little top, this little, like, I don't know, was it like a, just like a rise, really?
Yeah.
Like a drainage.
We were in the trees, and
he was just pacing back and forth, yelling.
Yeah, he was just screaming back and forth on this like flat bench, and we were below the bench, basically. Yeah. And so Charles and Dan, you guys went to
uphill.
That was the thing, though. You didn't get uphill enough, and I thought you were uphill enough, but so you started going uphill, and you stopped at these trees, and I dropped back down and to the right. Because I wanted to draw him past broadside, not straight on, right? And I get over there, and I can see the tips of his antlers, and he's probably 90 yards-ish at this point. And I'm trying to signal to you guys, move up. He's right there. Get to the top. None of my hand signals are working. Nobody's understanding my jibber jabber, but anyway, finally, I tell him I'm gonna bugle, so I hit him with a roundup bugle or bull call and cow's bugle, whatever you want to call it. And dude, he freaking spun around and he came charging in, and he stopped right where I thought he was gonna stop. I thought he was gonna come about 5 yards closer, but and he's looking down, and I think, in hindsight, because I noticed this later on in the day, that my in reach would flip around and I could see like a reflection on the grass in front of me. And I think that's what happened. He came and he saw that reflective light coming off my GPS, and he was like, and he just turned around and they left.
We never
but you guys, and you guys didn't, and you didn't see him. That was the craziest.
Dan told me he was looking right at me. Like,
John kept saying, he's right there. He's looking at you.
About? No, I didn't.
Or whatever. I was lip reading what you were trying to say.
I turned around and told Dan to shut up.
Shut up. I don't believe it. We got to watch the video on that. I don't believe it.
It's on video for sure. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's nothing looking at me. And I'm like, stop talking anyway. It's right here. You know, I definitely did. It's got to be on film. Shut up.
I want to see that one. I want to see that one.
It is, I'm pretty sure you pushed record at that point. It had to be recording.
Oh, yeah. I was recording for sure.
Yeah, I want to go back and look at that. I want to go back and look at my hand signals and see how – because I saw you turn the camera and look at me.
Yeah. I'm looking at you.
I did see that. I saw it. I turned around and you were filming John. You had turned and filmed him also. Yeah, so that should all be on there.
Yeah. So then we proceeded to follow that herd for what, like the 3 miles back, a couple of ridges over.
Remember what happened.
That's when you, where all the grouse were, where you climbed up to the top and you were.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Dan stayed back.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And we just kept hearing this one chuckling down below us, down below us. Yep. And then finally we came up to meet you, and we found bulls across the canyon, and he went up after him by himself instead of trying to call. He wanted to Charles it. And I don't remember what happened.
Well, that he got in there, and then – we were seeing a bedded bull.
Oh, yeah.
Then we saw another spike. Right. Saw and then as Charles is in there close, all of a sudden I'm seeing more cows that are just where we thought Charles was, just right uphill from Charles. And then they just kind of filtered on out of there. And we never did get into that bedded one because it was just
– right.
There were way more elk in there than we thought.
Exactly.
Where we thought they were at.
There usually is. I mean, every time we thought there was like one or two, when we get over there, was way more.
Charles should be telling, like, what did you see? Did you see a lot of trees? Could you hear the elk in there?
Did I see a lot of trees?
There's no trees.
That's what all you saw when you were down in there is what I'm like, Charles, all you can see is trees down in there because it was so thick.
Did I see a lot of trees? I did see a lot of trees. There's a lot of trees in there, I'll tell you what. More trees than you can shake a stick at.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, you got pine trees. You got pine squirrels, of course.
Hey.
Pine martens.
Pine martens.
We didn't even talk about the pine martens.
Oh, yeah.
We found a dead pine martin on in our pack out.
Oh, when we were packing out my elk, we came across a dead pine martin. Like, just out of all
random.
Random thing just laying in the middle of. Just laying there.
Pine grouse, but then we found out there's no such thing as pine
grouse.
Mountain
grouse. Yeah, called mountain grouse. And every time I see grouse,
spruce grouse.
Yes, that is a good thing to remember.
It's kind of true, too.
Almost. Yeah.
Not 100%.
But yeah, on the way back.
But it's something you should think about.
Day four.
It's kind of like when you're turkey hunting and crows or ravens or whatever, they give away turkeys. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
But not all the time.
Yeah.
There's just crows and ravens around. But they do give them away a lot of times.
Yep.
I think there's something going on with grouse and elk, too. I'm not sure.
Mm. They got a symbiotic relationship.
It's like a 60-65%, maybe 70%. So 60-70% that there's elk nearby when you see grouse. That's what it's been for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, so you went into the woods and saw all these trees that you can shake a stick at, and after that, After that, you met us up at the saddle, and that was one of your high moments or low moments there at that moment. You were
when I met you up at the saddle.
I think Charles wanted to kill me and you at that point,
or throw his bow. Oh. One of the two.
No, okay. Not at that point.
No, not at that point. At some point, he did.
I don't remember which because we were over there.
You just said we're done.
No, the time when. Well, yeah, I was pretty beat up. I was pretty tired at that point. I thought I was, that evening, that night, I was super tired, but then I woke up the next day, I was totally fine. Like, my feet felt
fine. The next day was the worst day ever for me.
Which one was that?
All the way up to
That's when we went to talk to Jesus. Because we went from 7,000 feet to freaking 10-2, and I don't know how many ups and downs. And
But hey, you got to look at the bright side. We got to take a nap.
Some close encounters right there.
We go the whole, all the way back to this canyon without hearing a peep, no bugles, not seeing any elk, and we're just like really distraught. And then Charles sits down and he goes, I got elk. And I was afraid because I saw the direction he was looking. And sure as shit. It was literally at the very top of the very back peak.
That's my spot, he said. I'm going to hike up there, and I'm going to kill that elk.
Oh, my God.
But you're getting him off of the hook here. You're fast forwarding. That night where he had a bad night, he when he was done, he was done.
Yeah.
He tried to race us back to camp.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, no. I like to walk fast. I like to, when I'm done. I like to just get back as soon as possible. For sure. it hurts me less instead of going slow.
Oh, that
I don't like to go slow.
That coming back from that way is like the worst.
Oh,
was that worse than tonight?
Tonight, I thought tonight was great.
Yeah. Whoa,
in comparison, because it's gradual.
My feet hurt the worst tonight of anything.
Well, it's because also. The last night.
Day it is. Yeah.
It was gradual. But that was nothing about that was gradual. It's literally freaking.
And that goes right from the cabin.
Oh, my God. That was terrible. And then the next day. Oh, no. That. What was the day?
So we go up to talk to Jesus.
Yeah.
And then we get into elk after our nap.
My calves are huge right now.
Are they? You got big calves.
Dude, I'm diesel. My legs are diesel right now. I got styrations and shit.
Say that to a cowboy, their calves, they're like, yeah, my calves grew pretty good this year.
My vein is just popping.
You should be like a calf model.
So since I am tired and I want to go to bed, let's go to like as we're done and you get into those elk and we find that huge herd bull.
Oh, my God.
You and Charles.
I almost forgot about that.
Go hiking down that chute.
It's because we argued for about 20 minutes about what we were going to do. And I'm like, we need to go. We need to go. Yeah, we need to go.
You were in a good position.
It was which way to go. Really?
No, no. First it was, we need to go. You're like, no, we should sit here and watch them and da, 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 da. And then it became, which way to go?
Well, we didn't know if they were going to go down the hill or what, and then which way to go.
Well, all I know is we needed to get there fast because they were going to come across that little bench.
Yeah.
So we went down the chute. The chute was the best.
The chute was the best idea, but we were about 10 minutes late.
Well
we still actually got there. The wind screwed.
No, we weren't late at all. We were 33 freaking yards away, but the wind, you can't count on it.
Oh, it was literally it was good for us the whole way down. The whole way down. We get down there. This is probably the biggest bull we've seen the whole trip, right? I mean, he was 340.
I think so.
He was big.
He was a big bull.
Big chocolate antlers.
Especially for here. Wow. On a OTC tag. That is 340 bull is a stud. And man, 33 yards.
Tell everybody how many cows he had with him, too. That was the tough part. There's cows between you guys and that bull.
I don't know. At least 30. At least 30. And there was several satellite bulls. And I mean, what led us to him originally was Charles had glass up a spike. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to go kill this bastard.
And I should have just went. I should have just went right then.
That would have probably been the best scenario. No, because the wind would have been bad for you.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, that was what's crazy. So we go after, we see that bedded bull. Then we see the herd bull. And you go make a play on the herd bull. Get within 33 yards with all those cows. And then when they ran out of there, across the canyon, another one is growling. I mean, he had a funny bugle.
Yeah. That one never. That guy didn't shut up the whole time. He's bugling at us as we left.
Yeah,
but Charles and I got down there. We're like, "There's no freaking way we're climbing up."
That was straight up. Straight up.
Well, anyway, so the big bull. We get into 33 yards, and I shit you not, right before the wind hit the back of my head, I said to myself, "I should hit him with a bull calling cow's bugle because his." Cows, we could see his cows. We saw his cow, a couple of his cows pass in front of us, like 30 yards in front of us. And I'm like, we should do this. This guy's going to come over here. He's being pestered by these satellite bulls. He's going to come over here and give us a look, right? And then all of a sudden, the wind hits the back of my head, and I'm like, oh, I really should do this right now because they're going to bust. And then you told me, he's like, the cows are leaving. The cows are leaving. Oh, shit. And then, boom, the whole freaking herd explodes, and they go running across that talus. And I was like, oh, mother of pearl. And I just saw the look in Charles' face. I saw the look in Charles' face, and I was like, oh, my God, he hates us right now.
But, I mean, just think about this. We climbed up there. You guys, you see that bedded bull. You have that play on the big herd bull. The other bull is screaming across the canyon. And then we're like, all right, we're not going after it. And we start walking back, and
that's really where I got – that was when I was frustrated. So we're walking back, and I think we just decided to stop, sit down. You guys were sitting down.
I sat down.
I was just stopped because you just stopped and picked up your glasses.
I looked to my right, and there's a spike and some other elk. I don't know what they were. Just standing there, like 38 yards away, feeding, their head down. And I think, Dan, you were like, you were going to say something or whatever.
No, you said, don't move.
Yeah, I was like, don't move.
And I didn't hear you. I heard you say something, and I'm like,
you're probably
what?
Taking your pack off or something. I don't know, whatever. But and then, you know, it hears us talking, and it looks up. You guys can't see any of this, right? He was sitting down.
No, well, I was sitting down. I couldn't see it.
When you said don't move, I was looking straight ahead, and so were you. And so I'm just looking straight ahead. I'm looking down the hill. I'm like, there's nothing down there, Charles. Why am I not moving? So I'm just
frozen.
Because I
didn't want to look at it. I saw it at the corner of my eye, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to look. I didn't want to make eye contact. And
don't make eye contact.
It was kind of like it stood there for a while and, you know, just sort of couldn't figure out what was really going on.
Because we were bugling and cloud calling the whole trail back. We were just, because we knew we were making a bunch of noise. We just wanted to sound like a herder.
Yeah. And I was like, make a cow call. John, but he didn't know it was a spike or whatever. And so he bugles, and the spike takes off. Like, what? Because it was only like 35 yards away. He takes off, but he only went just into the pine trees or whatever. And I'm like, no, no, like a cow call.
Oh, I heard him say just call. I didn't hear him say cow call.
Yeah.
And anyways, they took
then off. I had been bugling.
But for me, I was just frustrated because I was like, man, that was just – that's too easy. That's just way too easy.
Well, it was even more frustrating because we kind of passed over this. So after that, the 340 bull blew out with the cows. Like you said, that satellite bull, it wasn't a satellite bull. He was a herd bull. He had cows too.
Yeah.
And it sounded like he was down in the bottom. So Charles and I go all the way friggin' down to the creek. Only to find out that this son of a bitch is up above us like 800 feet. And he's got like five cows and he just won't shut up. Just letting go. But the reason why we thought he didn't have cows because he was answering to my cow calling. I was contacting him. Yeah, I was calling the whole way down. And every time I would call, he'd answer. Every time I call, he'd answer. And I'm like, okay, we're just going to cow call our way right into this guy, right? And then about three quarters of the way down, I'm like, why does this sound like – I don't know if he might have been down at the bottom and started going up.
I don't think he was.
But Charles – said it from the get-go. He's like, I think he might be across. I was the idiot that thought he was down.
Stuff sounds weird here.
It does. When you guys were done not going to hunt him and you said he's up on the hillside, even with me back where you guys had last talked to me, I still thought he was in the bottom. That's how when he would bugle, until I saw him with my own eyes, did I believe that he was up there. You know,
isn't that crazy?
Wow.
That was crazy. No, he would bugle like every 30 seconds. Just blasting away.
So that was day
one. I knew I couldn't make it up there. And on the way back, I felt like my feet were bleeding just out of every possible pore or whatever. Like, it was so bad.
I don't think people understand the ups and the downs.
It was so terrible that night I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this tomorrow morning. I'm like, all right, well, whatever. We'll find out. I set out all my stuff, got all my stuff ready. And the next morning, I didn't go with you guys.
Yeah. And then we ended up
still. I couldn't do it.
And then
we played squirrel ping pong.
Dan and I.
I don't even know what happened that day.
To this new spot that I'd always wanted to go to. And we basically went straight up. That steepest hiking
in the dark. In the dark, because we couldn't really tell what's what.
Almost shot a mule deer. I was like, should I shoot it? There's elk bugling, you know, and Dan's like, ah, it's up to you. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to shoot it. And I get my sights, and I'm ready to squeeze the trigger, and he just starts kind of walking at just different angle, and it didn't happen. So anyways, it probably ended up being... Well, I should have shot it. Yeah. But anyways, we kept going. We kept going and just nothing. It was just bad decision after bad. Like, let's go over here. Let's go over here. And everywhere we went, we were just caught by elk. There were so many elk over there. Everywhere we went, there was elk.
They were all around us, no doubt. But just not shoot them all. Rifle-wise, we could have killed.
Oh, rifle hunt? We all would have been tagged out the first day.
No issues. Rifle hunting whatsoever.
I think I'm going to quit bow hunting and just rifle hunt all the time.
And that day we went up. A giant Charles did his thing on, exploring and took me across the shale.
Charlesing.
Charlesing.
We haven't been there yet.
Takes me across the shale face just to turn around and go back. We took a little break by this nice log and these squirrels were there. And so then when we came back, we came right back to that log and took a nap.
Some nice naps.
Oh, those were fantastic naps. But then Charles didn't like these squirrels chattering at him, so he started throwing rocks at him. So it kind of became our hour and a half long, what do you call it?
Game.
It was fun. We did that today too, and I hit one.
Oh my God.
I got a video of that too. I want to see that.
I know. I want to see it.
You let him get like 5 feet from me. How close were you?
You were pretty close.
I was laughing so hard the camera was just shaking.
I finally hit something
today. Okay, so right there where he hit the squirrel, remember that. Yeah. Remember that for today. Remember that for this, we're going to tell you because you don't know about what happened tonight.
I had to go down. I kind of twisted my knee up pretty good.
So today.
Came back out of the steeps after, again, this has been the story of my life on this hunt. It's like I get so close and then the wind. So we were above. How many elk did. It might have been the same big elk. It might have been the same big bull. I mean,
from the day before?
From the day before because he had so many cows.
Yeah.
How many cows did that bull have up there?
Yeah. I don't know.
Might have been the same. It was like 30.
It was a lot.
We saw 50 plus elk over there. For sure.
Yeah. And we heard a lot too. Remember that bull and those couple cows that left after you took your backpack off and went over there? There probably was more elk that we never even saw right over that.
Right.
Man. Anyway.
So anyways, we came back and then what was yesterday? Is that what we're talking about? Or is that?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Oh, that was yesterday?
That was yesterday.
Oh, so then today
now
was.
Not today.
Yeah.
So last night we went out.
Only 6 days, honey.
And we went and glassed some areas and
found a giant herd. Giant herd that we haven't messed with at all.
The last place we glassed, I'll call it
Ben.
Shaft the Musical.
Shaft the Musical.
That's what we. And
it's close to that cyanide.
So we, yeah. And
cyanide.
glassed up, a lot of elk. So then that's where we went today. And
I want Dan to sing us cyanide.
No.
There was no bugling really. Mm-hmm. Till we got far back in, then we just started spotting them. And then, I don't know. Then it was just.
It was the
same. I went
same.
After some elk, and then I came back, and then we looked back, and it was like, oh, there's three elk
crossing right like where you were 5 minutes ago.
right where I just was. And then we ended up basically being on elk the entire day. It's just, and then I ended up being.
You went down after.
Really close.
I glassed up that one bedded bull, which we thought was originally just one bull, right?
Yeah.
Charles gets down in there. We see another spike with him.
Hours.
This is 4 hours.
4 hours stalk, right?
It was 4 hours and 45 minutes because my face looks like lobster.
Lobster.
We're sitting there on the freaking open hillside watching you.
I don't know, 50 yards. I'm calling. I'm raking trees. Nothing. They do nothing. And then at this point, you can't see him anymore. Right. So we're not even sure if they're there.
Because the sun made
like,
some crazy shit.
I'm just like antsy. I'm getting antsy. I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to go in there and see if they're there.
I wish we could have seen
these
you when
bastards,
you did that. We just could
you know?
Not see you.
So I just find a path where I'm hidden, and I just start cow calling and making all kinds of noise going in. And I'm walking in, and I see one bull get up. And he kind of takes off but stops. And then a bunch of them get up and they all stop. And I'm just seeing all these bodies. I'm like, holy cow, there's four bulls in here. So I just keep calling because I had all this. It was pretty thick where they were. And I had these thick kind of row of pine trees.
I wish we could have had that on film.
And so I'm trying to just angle myself because I know the second they see me because they're close. They're only, 35 to 50 yards away. So the second they actually see me and figure out that I'm not a cow, they're going to take off. So I'm just playing this game with them. And this lasted for probably 20 minutes.
Jesus.
And where.
And none of them gave
they would
a
like
shot.
Run down and then they'd run back up because I'd keep calling. And they're like, ah, man, there is a cow up there. And they'd run back up. And I could just see them. They're like peeking.
Where's
between trees?
Where's the nana?
It's so funny. I could see their antlers and their heads just kind of like weaving in and out of trees, and they're looking back and forth like, what's going on? Like, why is she going crazy? But there's no bull going off. It was probably kind of weird to them. Like an aggressive cow just coming into them. That was probably a little strange for them.
Those young whippersnappers that was hitting them.
And man, they just they would not give me a shot. And I was really ready for that. But
frustrated.
They just wouldn't give me a shot at all. And finally, they all, I don't know if they circled, one of them definitely circled around, and he might have gotten up on top of me even and smelled me because the wind was going uphill in my face. And he took off. And then, oh my gosh. And then, what? And then I saw another bull that you guys had seen or something. But
yeah, Dan spotted a bull.
And then we...
I enraged you.
Then we were going to go with the original plan.
Yeah, which was the bull that we were originally going after before.
Four and a half hours earlier was to go all the way up to this...
Rocky bluff.
Big rocky bluff, which was super steep to get up to.
Oh my
God. So we get up there.
Oh, no, wait. Before we get up there, Dan breaks his freaking kneecap.
Dan breaks his knee or something. You heard,
I don't know what it,
and he's
I
like,
what I did.
Intense pain at the back of the knee.
Yeah.
So.
And I knew that I was going to
And you left.
Slow
at,
you
it was like
up.
5 o'clock at that point. You yep. left.
Yep.
Where I'm like, just go walk back to the truck, yep. take your time, nice and slow, yep. get down there. Dan leaves. So, I'm like, all right, Charles, I'm coming up to you.
And I go strongly, up to you. I almost gave up then. I was like, man, Dan's hurt. We should just go back now.
And I'm like, no, this is now. Now we're going to make it happen.
Well, that's what I said.
We're
going
to make it happen.
Charles wants to kill a bull, so get up there.
We're going to make it happen. We get up there. It's freaking beautiful. It's everything I hoped it would be. Like, literally, it was like a tree stand. You could shoot down to the meadow that all these all the bulls and the elk crossed over in the morning. Remember when we saw we crossed over?
Yeah.
Dude. If he was sitting there in the morning, he could have shot any one of those elk.
Huh.
Anyway, so we get up there and we're like, let's just hang out here. We'll wait for them to start piping off. And all of a sudden, we hear a bugle. Like,
we hear some distant
bugles. Way out in the distance. And I'm like, it's coming from where we just came from. Okay. Like that
where
but
Charles
much further over.
Yeah.
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 Beyond that.
Okay.
So bugle. I'm looking at a far tree line. I'm like, they're right there.
He's like
coming out.
Wait, the bugle keeps getting closer and closer, and then Charles goes, "Oh my God, I see them! They're coming from across the way." And I look over there. I'm like, "Oh shit!"
Remember when you were earlier, Dan? When you were like, "Hey, how far over do we have to go to look at the other side?" Yeah. He came out of there.
He came out of there.
Really?
Yeah.
Just going nuts,
wow. Dude. They passed. No joke. 20-30 yards where you and I were sitting.
Yeah.
Right
four
underneath.
And a half hours.
Yeah.
Oh, underneath where we were.
Yeah. Right underneath. Anyway, so
going which way? Uphill or downhill?
No, downhill. They're going down to the creek. So they took the same route that you and I went down to go to the creek. Right? So I'm like,
so John's like, let's go.
We need to go. We need to go fast. And I'm going fast. And Charles doesn't like doing fast when there's an animal involved because he thinks he's going to spook it. But this elk was far away and
no,
he was walking.
At that point, my feet were
No, you were sneaking. You were sneaking. And I was like, oh, we got to get down there. We're going to get down there. And then all of a sudden, he comes over and we're like right in the fucking opening.
Oh.
And he's looking right down at us. And I'm like, fuck. And I don't know if this had something to do with why he didn't end up going all the way down to the creek. Might have. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he ended up starting bugling again, feeding, and then the cows. And we finally make our way down there. We're down to the creek. Get all the way back. I just literally 35 minutes earlier walked up from the fucking creek.
Yep.
So we dropped all the way back down to the creek, and we
gave up on all that. We were up at the ridge.
We were all the way up. We were up where the big bull was that we hadn't seen. But this guy was good. He was a good bull. And we're like, you know, bird in the hand. He's bugling. He's got cows.
Yep.
He only had 4 cows, which was, you know, less eyes to contend with than the 25 that the other guy had. So we get down there, and it looks like it's going to work out perfect. The freaking cow elk, which I thought was the lead cow, but I guess it wasn't. But she was in the front. She wasn't.
The front cow just starts working her way down right to us.
110 yards, 100.
Yeah.
100 yards, 90 yards, 82 yards, 76 yards.
And it comes down right in the creek right next to us.
No way.
He's drinking right there.
Right
and I'm like, they're all going to come.
I'm like, here they
come. You were that close?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we could have shot. He was like, he was going to shoot her.
Well, how dark
was it? I was
like,
I'm not packing a freaking cow out of here, bro.
Still an hour and a half before dark.
Oh, yeah. We had plenty of time.
Yeah.
Like, they're all going to come. She's down here. The rest of them are going to follow.
And they started. They started coming down. And all of a sudden, the other cow just turned and started feeding down the tree line. And I'm like, they're going to go right down the tree line. They're going to go feed. They're going to hit the creek down there, right? And I think when we crossed over the creek, when I jumped over and I hit the rock, I think they freaking hurt us. And
I don't know.
That's the only thing.
Something happened.
Something happened. The wind was not great. We were relying on the thermals coming downhill to save us.
She came all the way down on the creek.
So you
could have
killed that cow.
Oh my God.
Could have shot the cow, yeah.
All day long.
John goes,
How many yards?
Don't shoot that cow.
Yeah, I'm like, we got.
You said it was brown. It's down.
But they were all coming, and I'm like,
listen,
you know,
we got a friggin' full thing of meat right
now.
Yeah,
I know.
But
it's not
like he needed it.
Yeah, you're still gonna take plenty of meat home, aren't you?
So it's like,
So then we kind of continued, and then I was just like, dude, I'm done. Like, I'm done trying. I'm just done.
We gave up. And just started.
What time do you think you started walking back?
It was a little after 7.
It was getting. Yeah,
okay.
Pretty dark.
I think it took us like 1 hour and 15 minutes. It took you 3 hours.
3 hours limping all the way down.
We
and I got a cool video of
as fast as we could.
I got a really cool video of a pronghorn.
And this is the best part. We get back to the truck to the trailhead, and there's no Dan.
Yeah,
me and I mean I swear to God,
the whole way back I'm like, I think these are his boot prints, so I think he made it back. I can see it.
Yeah, I did, because we didn't take the same trail that we came. Yeah.
Would have loose dirt, I would purposely step in the loose dirt because I'm like, they'll see my tracks.
I saw the
down.
Tracks.
He said it too. He's like, that's Dan's poop. We get down there and there's no Dan, and we're like, oh my God, what am I gonna tell Beth?
Like, what's this mean? I'm like, he's got a headlamp. He's gonna start a fire. That's what I said. I'm like, he'll start a fire.
Yeah,
he'll burn the whole place down.
I do. I could.
Yeah. I'm like. Dan doesn't know how to use Onyx very good. Like, I don't know if he's lost.
No,
it's easy to get back. He's got to know how to get
back.
Yeah,
it was easy to get back.
But maybe his knee blew out.
I know that. I was like, oh, maybe
he's in
some
willow swamp.
Yeah, I was like, maybe he stepped in some freaking hole, you know, just yelling.
So my side of the story, I made it back in, 3 hours, but I don't have a piece of paper and a pen, and I was figuring these guys for sure were going to kill an elk. I just, in my mind, I'm like, these guys are, and then they're gonna be out at 2 a.m. Right now it's 8:00. It's blackout. It's pitch black. I'm gonna grab my headlamp and I'm gonna hike out to the road and I'm gonna hitchhike. And I'm like, I can't write them a note, but I'll put my backpack in the back of Charles' pickup. They'll clearly see that my backpack is in the back of the
cab on it, in the back. So
Anyway,
he opened it up because he thought you were laying inside there, and he didn't see the backside.
And you didn't see my back.
There was no lights on in there.
So anyway, some nice guy gave me a ride about 4 miles down to my pickup, and I had the keys, got my pickup. And as I drove back, I'm like, I was thinking about pulling in here to the cabin. I'm like, nope. I know I got paper and pen in this pickup. I'm going to scoot as fast as I can back to the pickup. So they know.
I sent him. I'm like, maybe he went back. He walked back to the cabin. I don't know.
Because it made sense. I'm like, well, if he's thinking if they get an elk, I'm not going to stay here till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Might as well just walk back at least.
Yep.
I figured might as well walk back.
I'm like, I'll stay here. You get in the truck. You go drive over there.
Yep. So then as I'm pulling in, Charles was pulling out and he said, well, John's still back there. So I went.
Yeah. So it was only same trail, you know, where we had parked. So. There wasn't much left to suspense.
No, not very long.
Yeah.
Wow. And we ate wonderful food this whole time. Someone chefed it up.
I try my best. Tonight was a backpacker's pantry feast.
Yeah, that was all good. Even the elk we ate was delicious. Man, it was good. It was pink and bloody. But in a good way. Not it was delicious, right? I mean, what do you think, Charles?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Man.
Elk is great.
No. Guys, it was an awesome trip. I enjoyed myself immensely. Even despite I'm definitely.
Do you got one more story to tell? When Charles and I were gone, you got to spend the day.
That's right. So there's a mouse right there.
What?
There's a mouse on top of that garbage bag.
Outside?
That I put in the thing.
Out
I just
the window?
Saw. Yeah. Oh.
Just like that's what you were going to talk about. Something you saw out the window.
Basically, so I'm sitting at.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting on the couch and I'm looking out the window. I'm talking to my wife. I'm FaceTiming my wife. And I'm like, hey, I got to call you right back. I hang up with her because I see this tan body coming down the ridge that we walked up two or three times, right? And I'm like, I thought it was an elk at first. You know, I would just wasn't even thinking. I run out there with my binos and I put my binos up. And it's a freaking mountain lion. And I'm like, holy shit, it's a freaking mountain lion. And like, no sooner did I said that, he sees me and he bolts. Like, I don't, dude, I mean, I'm what, we're 700-800 yards away from that?
Yeah.
That ridge?
That I wish I'd have seen the mountain lion. That's pretty cool. We got to see a lot of stuff. Grouse, lion.
That's my first mountain lion this year.
Mostly we saw piles of elk. I mean, really?
We did see a lot of
wow.
elk.
Yeah.
I'd like to know how many miles that we, now that we were tracking it, I don't know if I tracked every day.
I mean, but I'll listen,
go back.
But it's got, if you average about 11 miles a day, 12 miles a day, because it was two days that we were, I think, under nine, because we came back early.
Yeah, because
we didn't really hunt into the evening.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'd say 11 miles a day, which is, I mean, pretty average for elk hunting, but when you're climbing and losing 4,000 feet in elevation every day, that's a bitch.
Good that's boots. A bitch. You got to have good boots.
No I had three pairs of boots, so I was just like rotating them. So my feet wouldn't have the same, hot spots.
Now I'm yawning. Man, I'm tired. Well,
hey, there's a flat. You see that? There's a headlamp coming down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, coming down rider. Or what was that? No, there's a horseback rider.
Mm.
Yeah. Looks like a horseback rider to coming down with a headlamp.
Something.
I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it now either.
Yeah,
it was we were bouncing we there.
You're seeing everything out the windows right now, John.
Apparently, yeah.
It's time for bed, and you're seeing mice and headlamps.
We need a slingshot. Go shoot this friggin' mouse.
Ah, man. All right.
Trying to get in the yard as well.
And we did get water back on.
Yep.
Tonight.
I can't wait for bed.
Yep.
I'm going to shower.
Okay.
All right.
That was the recap, I guess.
That was the recap.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out daysinthewild.com. And be sure to give us a review on iTunes. Thank you, and we'll check you out on the next episode.